This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter airs Monday through Thursday at 5 o'clock and features a wide array of community affairs for our local watersheds. I'm your host, Lyons Filmer. Today, my guests are Kate Lundquist and Brock Dolman, directors of the Water Institute at the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center in Occidental. And I'm so pleased to have them on the phone with us this afternoon. Kate and Brock, welcome. You are on the air on KWMR.
Thanks, and hello.
Hello.
Thanks, Lyons, for having us on with you.
Well, it's really a treat. OAEC, Occidental Arts and Ecology Center, you guys do some really awesome work. And when I read in the newsletter about this beaver project, I just immediately wrote off to Kate and said, come on, I want you to talk to us on the air. Permaculture is the basis of the work at OAEC. That's a fair statement, isn't it?
Well, permaculture is one of the things that, especially the permaculture design courses, that's something that OAC is well known for. We've been doing now for almost 22 years, certifying students. I think if you understand permaculture overall as a design method for regenerative human settlement that's based on natural patterns and processes, then you can say that's the work of OAC, and that's the work of beavers as well.
Well, that mantra, as I think of it, for water, slow it down, spread it, sink it. Have I got that right?
Yep. Slow it, spread it, sink it, and then store it and share it.
Great. Store it and share it indeed. Well, let's start with that marvelous creature, the beaver. I hadn't realized it is the largest rodent. And we human beings don't have a very good history with rodents. We have quite we feel quite repelled by them a lot of the time. So I'm besides the fact that the beaver has a beautiful coat and it made nice coats for humans and hats, I wonder how much we disliked them because of their rodentness.
Definitely an issue, and they are the largest rodent in North America. We do want to give props to the capybara in South America, which is the largest rodent in the world that we know of. But indeed, big rodents definitely make landowners nervous. They are quite industrious, and their teeth do keep growing, and so they have to keep them sharp. And they are really amazing, but luckily they are not as out of control as some rodents can be. They don't populate as rapidly. They only give birth to their kits once a year, and they have fairly small litters. So it's a little bit different than what most people think of when they start getting concerned about the mice getting into the house.
Mm-hmm.
But they are quite effective at modifying their environment, and that's why we're so excited to be partnering with them as a restoration agent in California, because there's a lot of work they're doing out there 24/7 that we could be harnessing and working in cooperation with to get our restoration needs met as well.
Let me start by saying at this point that Kate Lundquist with Brock Dolman, my two guests of Occidental Arts and Ecology Center Water Institute, have written a marvelous booklet, which I heartily recommend to anyone who has the slightest bit of curiosity, either about the beaver or water issues in California. It's called Beaver in California, Creating a Culture of Stewardship. Kate or Brock, if people want to go online and find this marvelous booklet, where do they go?
They can go to our website, which is oaec.org, and we have the booklet for, it's a downloadable PDF, and so if you go to the Water Institute section of our website, which is oaec.org/water, you can find it right there and download it and check it out. We also have physical copies available if people prefer to have something in their hand. And those you can just call our main office and we can send you a copy. Or you can drop in by the center during one of our plant sales or during our volunteer days on Wednesdays and get a copy yourself.
Well, let me give a shout out for the plant sales, because OAEC grows the most gorgeous veggies and so on. The next two weekends, August 20th and 21st and August 27th and 28th, up in Occidental. You, dear listener, if you want to go see Occidental Arts and Ecology Center and get that booklet for yourself, or just print it out at home, which is what I did.
And you're also welcome. When you come, you'll notice on the booklet that we've taken some creative liberty with the California Republic flag and swapped the bear out for the beaver. And so we also have organic cotton beaver hats and beaver flag stickers. So when you come up, you can get a full package deal at the plant sale and take home your booklet, your hat, and a sticker.
Well, I'm there. You'll be seeing me. I was curious, interested in all the things that you, Kate, and Brock wrote about in this book. That they have this need to chew. You know, their characteristics, how they behave, is very much driven by, you know, their instincts. But their teeth keep growing, right? The front teeth. So they need to chew, hence the chewing down of trees in order to build their dams.
This is true, and oftentimes you'll see out in the wilderness spots, they're kind of like chew stations where they're working on a large tree to keep their teeth sharpened. But they are herbivores, and so they are actually cutting down trees for their bark. They love the cambium layer, and they do use the wood for building as well if they are, in fact, building dams or lodges.
And I was so fascinated that you write that they are stimulated to build dams by the sound of running water. Oh, what a marvelous feedback system or something.
Well, I think that's one of the amazing things about beaver is that in situations where there's rivers, one of the opportunities is if they can create an impounded area of water, a beaver pond, that has an associated dam with it, that then provides them both their aquatic habitat and protection from predators, and also it helps irrigate, if you will, the adjacent areas, which then grows more grasses and sedges and cattails and willows and alders. And so they're basically water harvesters that are basically forest farmers that create their own habitat, and in the process of doing that, they're flowing and spreading and sinking, storing and sharing that water for other wildlife, for groundwater recharge, for carbon sequestration, for biodiversity habitat, and all of these other environmental services are part and parcel with their amazing architectural and engineering feats that they do as water harvesters and forest farmers.
And you make the point that they're highly adaptable, so they can function in a lot of different kinds of locations. Is that the point?
Well, you know, their scientific name is Castor canadensis, and so we know that they're throughout much of the range up into Canada, very far north. And also, we've spoken to folks who have beaver populations in the panhandle of Florida and into Alabama. The alligators tend to limit their distribution there in some cases. Mm. And then they were throughout the arid Mountain West and up in the high mountains. And then if there's water and they can slow it down, or if it's already slowed down enough, they're amazingly adaptable organisms. And the fun part about California is that California is such a diverse place hydrologically and biologically, and beavers appear to have been throughout the state, whether they're in the coastal systems or in the bay, the delta, the high Sierra, along the Colorado River, up in the Shasta area. They were widely distributed in the state.
Well, some of us are aware of how the beaver was hunted to, I suppose, near extinction in some areas and maybe total extinction in some, again, because of its wonderful coat. You write about how in the mid-20th century, Fish and Game, as it was then called, recognized the value of restoring beaver. Why don't you talk about that historical bit and where we are today with bringing beaver back?
Yeah, well, you know, Brock and I, along with others, did some historic ecology work looking into the records to see where, in fact, beaver occurred over time in California, and found a lot of really interesting evidence. And in that work, we discovered that they had almost become extinct by the 1900s. They estimate there are only 1,000 left. And so the Department of Fish and Game ended up protecting beaver. They passed a law in 1911 to cease trapping of all beaver to help try to bring the population back. And they recognize that beaver had incredible value, especially up in the uplands, of retaining soil and helping with erosion and keeping water higher up in the watershed longer and delaying the release of that water so that you could have more water throughout the dry season even then. And so they went to extraordinary lengths to start repopulating the state with beaver, mostly just live trapping and driving them around to different places. And we actually have found old maps of all the different relocation places.
Oh.
We got all of the records of where beaver were relocated to. And in some cases, they actually threw beavers out of airplanes in boxes with parachutes attached. And this is not just something they did in Idaho. If you look online, there are old black and white videos of them doing this to the beaver in Idaho, and they did this in California as well. And there were even beaver released in Marin County in Glenbrook Creek, actually. They released a mating pair out in Point Reyes, and we have no idea what happened to those beaver. We certainly are interested if anyone has any stories of whatever became of those beaver, but none apparently have stuck in Marin, except for in the bay itself. They're certainly swimming around on that side of Marin County. But, so they did a great deal of relocating. And, this was really common amongst western states back then. And California had one of the bigger programs. Over 1,200 beaver were relocated. And some of the beaver that we have today still are from those populations that were relocated. And as it turns out, the evidence that we found indicates that beaver occurred in many places across California before they were extirpated by the trappers. And so there has been an ongoing debate as to whether or not they are native to the coast of California or to the Sierra Nevada. And we have, in fact, found a lot of historic accounts and some archaeological records as well, buried beaver dams and beaver bones, and a lot of ethnographic evidence as well. Mm. There's a name for beaver in 60 native California languages.
Goodness.
So, yeah.
That's Kate.
Great.
That's Kate Lundquist and Brock Dolman. They're my guests here on Epicenter today. I'm Lyons Filmer. It's KWMR, Point Reyes Station. Kate and Brock direct the Water Institute at Occidental Arts and Ecology Center in Occidental. And they have published a book. It's really short. It's 32 8.5 by 11 inch pages, so it's completely manageable and wonderfully illustrated and well worth reading. Beaver in California, Creating a Culture of Stewardship. And you can find this marvelous tale on their website, oaec.org, under Projects, Bring Back the Beaver Campaign. So the beaver is well sighted in California, maybe I could say. They belong here. And it makes sense to restore that beaver population to higher numbers. It's not like we're trying to bring back the saber-toothed tiger or something.
No, in this effort of what is often referred to as rewilding, we're talking about rewilding an organism that still is a native endemic living organism in California, but whose population has been historically significantly impacted because of human land use and persecution, and a perception that, in many respects, persists today, that they're a nuisance and that they're not native in much of the state. And I think the nuisance piece is something we find interesting here at the Water Institute, and how it is we, in many respects, got into beaver more formally, although, you know, I've grown up with them my whole entire life and I've always loved them, but working on watershed restoration issues and how to rehydrate watersheds and bring back coho salmon or steelhead trout or retain water. At some point, we began looking at the literature out there, especially in Oregon and Washington, and there's just amazing peer-reviewed published science where there were beaver populations in the coastal zones of Washington, Oregon. The salmonids, and again, coho salmon especially, were faring better, and there were more fish and bigger fish, and the populations were more resilient. And down here in California, in coastal California, especially Marin County, very infamous for its coho recovery efforts,
yes,
it just seemed that here's an organism, a beaver, that, as the Haida people say, beaver taught salmon how to jump,
that's coexisting
with these fish and creating habitat and slow water habitat and winter refugia for them for a long time. And as Kate mentioned, they're working 24/7. They do it better. They do it cheaper. They do it faster. They don't need permits in CEQA.
Right.
And we're killing them for sometimes the value of a pelt for $15-$20 just because they're perceived of as a nuisance.
Yeah.
When, in fact, they're doing all of these amazing services much more economically and efficiently. And, in fact, we can learn to live with them because there's a multitude of non-lethal tools in our toolbox to coexist with beaver so we can get the benefits of beaver but also manage their perceived damage, if you will.
Well, a couple of the stories that you tell in your booklet, Beaver in California, are really lovely success stories, one in Martinez in the East Bay and one down in Monterey. Do you want to describe those a bit?
Sure. The Martinez beavers are one of the more famous cases of beaver advocacy in the state of California. Beaver showed up there, I think it was in 2007, and basically colonize Alhambra Creek, which is it's basically the creek runs through the city of Martinez and empties out into the estuary. So it's this brackish kind of stormwater ditch that goes through the city itself. And the beaver set up shop and put in some dams, and the city got really nervous and decided they were going to get rid of them. And the community rose up and said, no way, we want to keep them. They're an amazing species. Let's talk about this. And so over several months, the committee that was formed to address the concerns that the city had came up with a very thorough 167-page document addressing every last concern. And in the end, they were able to convince the city to put in a pond leveling device, which basically is putting a pipe through the dam so that you, the human, can control the height of the water so that it doesn't flood the surrounding property, which is one of the ways you can mitigate beaver damage that we really like to promote. And that went in, and the beaver got to stay. And now I was just 2 weeks ago at the Martinez Beaver Festival, which is in its ninth year and highly successful. Over 1,000 people come to this festival, and many people come to Martinez from all over the world for the watchable wildlife experience. The bridge just behind the Martinez Amtrak station is goes right over Alhambra Creek where the beaver are, and you can often see them coming out at night. And so it's a great place if you've never had a chance to see beaver to go and observe them. And since the beaver have been there, they've had all kinds of other species show up. The green herons, the mink, the otter, different fish. It's been a great success story, and everyone thus far is feeling pretty good about it. And it's spawned this incredible form of ecotourism where,
yes,
you know, the children now are, like, making beaver tiles and putting them on the bridge, and they're having murals, and it's been a really fun kind of revitalization for the community itself and given folks a great cause to rally around.
Well done, Martinez.
Yeah. And then over in Monterey County, you know, we have been working a lot with folks doing restoration, and in particular, like Brock said, with, you know, folks that are trying to restore coastal streams and working with the salmon. And we connected with Caltrans folks that are trying to work with salmon, and they had a project in Monterey County where they had done, they had restored a wetland area as part of their mitigation for highway redesign. And sure enough, the beaver saw it as great habitat and moved in and started expanding the flooded area, and this was starting to saturate the new roadbed. And so we met with them, and we partnered with Swift Water Design, who does beaver damage mitigation, and went and installed one of these flow control devices with Caltrans at their request, and the beaver got to stay, and so did all of the other species that have now colonized this area. They've got western pond turtle, they've got red-legged frog, they have a bunch of bird species coming in there now, and this was formerly just kind of a drainage ditch with a lot of trash in it.
Yes.
Now, it's, when you see the photos of it, it's amazing how transformed that area has been, and we're really excited that we can get an agency like Caltrans behind that kind of mitigation, and they were really willing and really helpful and a great partner to work with on that project.
That is so wonderful to hear. The western pond turtle is an interesting link. In last week's, I believe it was, Point Reyes Light newspaper was quite a lengthy article about how here in Golden Gate National Recreation Area, in a portion that I think is handled by Point Reyes National Seashore, the western pond turtle is in bad shape. You know, they have trouble reproducing, predators, blah, 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 blah. So they're attempting to restore that population as well. And here's this beautiful connection to the beaver. I love it.
Yeah, it's true. And we find, you know, for those of us who are lucky enough to have beaver in our midst, what we're really trying to get the word out about is it doesn't have to be bad news. It can be really good news,
yeah.
In fact. And if there are any threats of damage that folks are experiencing, whether it's cutting down trees or, you know, precious crops, flooding property, blocking culverts, those are the most common complaints. There are really easy, economical, and easy-to-install solutions for all of those issues. And you know, we can support people in doing them themselves. We can send you people who hire themselves out to do this. There's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of opportunity for mitigating these potential damages. And so our theme is just, let's just let them do the slowing and spreading and sinking it for us, and we can figure out ways around the damage. And it's a it can be a win-win situation for everyone.
Well, let me speak highly again of your booklet, Beaver in California, Creating a Culture of Stewardship. Kate Lundquist and Brock Dolman are my guests here on Epicenter. I'm Lyons Filmer. It's KWMR. You can find this excellent booklet on the website of Occidental Arts and Ecology Center, oaec.org. Go to Projects and look up the beaver. And the booklet is really excellent at showing how clever those solutions are, how to keep them from blocking a culvert, how to keep the water level down so it isn't going to flood the area. Tree trunks can be painted with sand in it, very subtly. And also fascinating to me was, you know, beavers are there, it's flooding, I don't want them there, I'm going to take that dam away. Well, that stimulates them to go out and chew some more trees down so they can build the dam again. So,
right.
You know, understanding how they work is important to making the relationship work, I guess.
I mean, I think what's interesting is that while some people have a perception that beaver is a nuisance, it's ironic in the drought that folks find beaver a nuisance because they're holding too much water on people's land, and that too much having available water and groundwater recharge is perceived of as a nuisance in the middle of a drought is a fascinating maybe misunderstanding here and stuff.
Yeah.
What we find a nuisance is dry stream beds and extinct coho salmon and disappearing pond turtles,
mm-hmm.
and loss of groundwater supply, or as Sierra snowpack melts away with climate change, the loss of water holding capacity in mountain meadows. We find that a nuisance, and beaver addresses all of those problems. And so instead of perceiving them as a nuisance, we really want to see them as the keystone species that they are, and how can we work with beaver in a collaborative way versus working against beaver on our collective resilience, if you will.
Well, this booklet, Beaver in California, that you can find on the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center website, is full of contact information. If you want to learn more about recognizing if beaver's in the area, there are two pages of photographs of how you can recognize them, including their scat, which is kind of a pale mustardy color. It's not as dark as some scat. Must That has to do with what they eat, I assume.
Yeah, beavers have a fascinating life history strategy. They are herbivores and rely on a lot of different plant materials to get their nutrition, but they actually don't have the enzymes in their system to break it down, but rather they have a cecum full of bacteria. And so when they eat all of that herbaceous matter, the bacteria break it down, and so then they expel and re-ingest it, and on the second pass get all the nutrients.
Oh, how
so
fascinating.
So when it comes out the second time, it's just a pile of sawdust, and it's usually underwater, so it's quite hard to see. You're lucky if you get to see scat.
Fascinating. I think scat is fascinating, and it's a great way to identify other animals. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. I want to hear about the Beaver Blitz that's happening October 8th, and please, what else do you want to touch on that we haven't yet?
Sure. Well, I'll just mention three things that are coming up. The Visions of the Wild Festival in Vallejo. If any of your guests know people in Vallejo or are going to be over there, that's going to be a big, fun event called Beaver Mania, and it's put on by, in part, U.S. Forest Service, who's really getting behind the beaver, which is great. And that's going to be on September 17th, or 16th, I should say. And it's at 7 p.m., the Empress Theater in Vallejo. We're going to screen the great documentary, Leave It to Beavers, and I will be talking, as will Heidi Perryman of the Martinez Beavers. And then there's also a family fun day happening in Santa Rosa, which is also, that's the next day, September 17th from 11 to 4, and that's going to be at the Llano Road Treatment Plant, and there's going to be all kinds of conservationists there, and I will be giving a beaver talk at 2:30, so if folks want to come out and hear that. And then the Beaver Blitz itself, we're attempting to map all of the known populations in Sonoma County. And we're gathering folks together at 9 a.m., and we're still working on the location, so check in with us. You can email me, kate@oaec.org, if you want to find out more. It's going to be an all-day thing. We're going to be using iNaturalist to take photos of beaver sign, and then we're going to upload it all. And this will be an ongoing project, so if you can't make it out on that day, October 8th, and join us all in the fun, you certainly, if you are traipsing about in Sonoma County and see sign of beaver, you are welcome to upload those to our project, which is can be found on iNaturalist. It's called the Beaver Blitz.
But a general go-to would be oaec.org, yes?
Yes, oaec.org/beaver is our beaver page that has all things beaver on it and all the publications that we have worked on and any information that you want to know about beaver resource lists and whatnot.
Well, I talked with Steve Dunsky last week about Visions of the Wild, and we talked up the beaver film. So September 16th, and people can find out about that also on Visions of the Wild. Wonderful. Kate Lundquist and Brock Dolman, thank you so much for joining me on Epicenter today on KWMR.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Epicenter is here every Monday through Thursday. I'm Lyons Filmer in today. And you can check out the archives of Epicenter on our website, kwmr.org. Thanks for being with us.